Are you ready to hear all the latest and greatest news from Power Diary? Well, tune in to this episode of the Practice Power Up Podcast Monthly Review with Damian Adler and me, Danielle. We'll explore all the latest trends and news at Power Diary. So, without further ado, let's get started. Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Practice Power Up Podcast with myself, Danielle, and Damian Adler, our co-founder and head of customer success. Say hello, Damian.
Hey, Danielle. How you going?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. We've got a really exciting episode today. We are going to do a year in review. And this year has been a busy one. It's been a year of growth, innovation, and security. It's been just a gangbusters year. I'm so proud of all the work that we have put out there. I'm proud of the software and all the engineering team and everything that's gone into it. So I think we should just jump right into this and get into our year in review. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start out with some new things that are out since our last podcast, the last update that we did. So since we last caught up, we had the clone practitioner availability that has been completed and released. And this is in relation to the rosters. So when people are rostering availability. And they might construct a roster, or they might be putting in a roster override for, let's say, a holiday or something. And if you've got lots of practitioners, then often be repeating, you know, the same thing and going through and setting the same settings. So now we have a function we can actually clone the practitioner availability. So the availability that shows in the calendar. And so we have updated that so that now you can clone the availability. So if you go through and set, you know, Monday to Friday or Saturday and all the start and finish times, you say, well, that applies to multiple practitioners. You can go in and you can actually edit, you know, clone that and apply it to another practitioner, or you can clone it to multiple practitioners. So good for things like, you know, exactly that kind of scenario, or let's say there is a holiday and you want to put in an exemption, an override to the availability, and then you want to clone that across multiple practitioners, you can do it.
Just simple. Making everybody's life a little bit easier.
Next one up, we have have released the feature to make it easier in terms of setting or resetting clients' login for the client portal. So now there's a new feature where you can actually sort of set put a merge field into a communication template, which sends out a reset link via email or via SMS. And so if a client wants to register for the client portal, you can actually send them an email with a link in it that allows them to do that. Or let's say they have forgotten their password, they want to reset it. Of course, they can do it from the client portal directly, as they always have been able to, but there are circumstances where the practitioner or the practice might be more involved in that and say, you know, hey, look, I'll send you a link you can use and you can reset it, and away they go. So it keeps it valid for 7 days, that reset link, and they're able to reset it. So it just makes it easier. Again, feedback from customers who were saying these were a couple of sticking points, and we want to sort of make that easier. So since we last put up, we've had those couple of things out, and they're live and available for you to use now.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
So let's jump into some highlights. So 2023.
So I think that, you know, it's good to mention that we're with the highlights. We're only going to talk about the the highlights. We can't talk about everything. And there's been over 60 that I counted. And my counting could be off. There were so many. It was hard for me to count. Feature releases or upgrades to within the system. And this is above and beyond, you know, all the other things that they're working on. So this is just, we're going to get the highlights. I'm really, really, really excited to go through this list. So,
and we've got a list of some big, some small, just so that it sort of, if you haven't heard of these things or you missed it in the previous one, just to orient you to it, you can find more information on our website, release notes and so forth. Yeah.
Head to our release notes, or you can listen to our past podcast episodes and get a full download there as well. So listen or watch. Okay, let's go.
First one, so authentication before access to client form. So we've added additional security option there for people to, when they're sending out client forms to be completed. So there's you can read all about that there, but that is one thing that it was out. Sending appointment times out in the client's time zone.
Yes.
So yeah, this was one that we had requests. So if a practice has clients or patients in different time zones, then now it will send the appointment in the local, the client's local time zone. So you can record the time zone for that client
with you.
In their profile.
Yeah, if I had an appointment with you and I'm here on Eastern time and you're on Australian Melbourne time, I would get that notification in my time zone of when our appointment would be.
Yep, absolutely.
Nice.
And we're seeing more, you know, as over the last few years, of course, as people are using more technology to provide health services, more telehealth and so forth, then the mix of clients that people are seeing, less likely to be people just walking into the clinic, of course, who are going to be in the same time zone or very likely to be. And so this is something that we were getting requests for, to be able to make sure that if you're providing telehealth services, you can provide it anywhere in the world. And therefore, it's important that the appointment reminder, you know, it tells the patient or the client the time that the appointment's actually on that makes sense to them. They don't have to do a calculation.
Awesome.
To figure it out. So
I remember
that's
that
out there.
One.
Yeah, yeah, it was good, wasn't it? The next one, default service for group appointments. The clients can now, you know, pay for things like for classes and group appointments on the portal so that they can get payment up front for those things. So again, something that was requested. People have been able to pay upfront on the client portal for years. For other things, they can pay a deposit or they can pay the full amount or not pay at all, depending on what the practitioner wants. But now they can also pay for group appointments on the portal if so desired.
Yeah, nice.
That is there. Okay, we have made some changes to our subscription page. This is more of a sort of internal thing for customers, but
I think it's a great thing. It's just a clarified subscription page. You can see, you know, it's the UI's been updated, so it's nice and pretty. And you know how I like things that look pretty. And then you got like your optional add-ons right there. So it's a better user experience, really, for the subscription page. And I think we'll continue to like keep tweaking it and refining it and making it even better too.
We do. And this is sort of one of those things too where if we can see something that, you know, it might be smaller people, maybe, you know, don't visit that page, you know, a whole lot, but when they do, they might want to look at, you know, something, how something's broken down, if they're, you know, sharing costs or something with other practitioners and all the rest of it, just make it nice and clear. So anyway, some updates there. We've got a few more in the pipeline for that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, resource booking feature for appointments and updates the time finder. Now, do you want to take, I know, because you did some videos on this, right?
I did.
Yeah.
So this was like a big deal. People have been asking for this for a long time. So we now have the resource booking. So you can, you know, name your rooms, name massage tables, name books, whatever. You can add these resources into the system and then allot them to the appointment, and it takes it away so that somebody else can't double book. If you cancel the appointment and that resource frees up, it puts it back in. You can pick a resource and pick a time, so you can see like when that resource is available at what time. So if you had a room and you really loved a room, like I had my rooms all named fun names, like the butterfly room, and let's say I really loved the butterfly room and I wanted to be in the butterfly room, you could select the butterfly room, find the time that's available for it, and book the appointment. So I know everybody was looking for resources for a long time, and this was a big win. And
yeah,
it was exciting when it launched too. I was like, yes. And I think it was a great feedback on it too. So
it has been good.
Use and that resource booking.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes where there's required equipment or something resource for a particular, you know, appointment, then it just allows that if there's a pool of equipment that can be used, and then it allows people to very easily see whether that's available for a particular time, and, you know, makes it really solved a lot of problems. So that's been great to have that out there. And like you say, feedback's been good. All right, moving on, Telehealth Plus.
Yes.
Well, lots to say. Telehealth Plus has been awesome. Multiple participants you can have in there, so you can have a bigger pool, file sharing, chat, all sorts of things. So this sort of really was something that people had been asking for, was a whole bunch of extra sort of features in telehealth. So we have this telehealth plus. The standard telehealth is still there, so you can still use standard telehealth as you always have been
It's
able
called
to.
Telehealth Lite.
Yes, thank you.
Telehealth
Telehealth
Lite.
Lite.
We branded it so you could really, you know, that was something we did too. So it was really clear and distinguishable, you know, which one am I using to, you know, because you don't have to. That's the brilliance of having two telehealth, you know, options within Power Diary. So if you, you know, really want that availability to have, you know, multiple participants, like it's a family and they're, you know, working, they're all over the world or whatever, and they need to meet for a telehealth counseling appointment. Sure, it happens,
you can do
right?
It. Yeah.
So we didn't have with our standard or telehealth light, that's for one-on-ones and that is free. It's included with your Power Diary account. But now we have the telehealth plus, and that allows for you to have those multiple interactions and multiple people on there, and you have all the other features, but you don't have to use the paid service, which is telehealth plus, because it is, again, you get a lot more stuff with it. You don't have to use it all the time. Power Diary gives you two options. So I just think it's really, I know it was a big project, and I think people have really liked the having that flexibility that they can make that choice between two different ones, and they got the two different names, and it's just really clear. And it's it was a big win.
And I think the you know, thing to point out too is that it's compliant, secure, and meets all the kind of things for health, right? So because there's lots of platforms out there that, you know, provide group video calling facilities, of course, right? But they don't necessarily comply with that of sort of, you know, what in terms of what the health regulations say in terms of privacy and security, and in particular the way in which the media is streamed. Like, we can't say the way we're telehealth plus, we have group appointments, we don't sit in the middle of that, right? And we can't intercept the streams, like, you know, so because that's the requirement in terms of from a security point of view. Now, some of the other platforms that people use, they don't have those sort of required security features, yet people do use them. So things that are not built specifically for health often don't comply. And if you look at their terms and conditions and how they, you know, there are things in there about they can do with that data and they can interpret that data, that doesn't comply with the health regulation. So that's why we went to the effort of sort of building, you know, Telehealth Plus to provide these features, but in a way that is still within the contained, secure, and private environment that Power Diary offers as a health solution, and not just sort of something that's, you know, built for just standard kind of, you know, business use, which is a very different threshold.
Sure. I if anybody's curious, just go and Google. I'm not gonna throw it all out there.
No,
but around in August, and you'll know what we're talking about. But again, I think that is brilliant that you really focused in on what was really important about that, and that's the security and the confidentiality
and the privacy
of your patients. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Excellent.
Very good. Okay, moving on. New features that we added for recording gender identity and sex pronouns and so forth to make sure that we have that. We had consulted, you know, with that as well to make sure that how we were aligning it was correct. And that's, again, been very well received.
Mm-hmm.
Introduction of signatures on notes, which was a change to how things were done before, and that now is great. We made a bunch of changes and enhancements to the wait list. That was like a huge rebuild, really, like the way that's all been done. So wait list, if you haven't checked that out, you know,
you should,
go back and check it out. It's very good. We're getting great feedback on that. So that's been good. Now, for those in Australia, this applies. This next one is around Medicare and Department of Veteran Affairs. The way that automatic payments, particularly if they've been bulk billed, that when a payment has been sort of processed, it now allocates it or checks it and allocates it back automatically. So before, you had to kind of check and then you were able to you had to sort of manually allocate, and so now you can have it automatically allocated to the invoices, so you don't have to manually go through and update
well,
it all.
I think that's great. And I know how important having that integration with Medicare and DVA is for our Australian customers. I think it's just excellent service that we provide for our Australian customers to have that functionality. So just continuing to, you know, keep it going and make sure it's improving it or whatever you can do. I think that's just excellent stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And for clarity, for our US audience, so this, when we're talking about Medicare DVA, there is Medicare DVA, of course, in the States, but in this context, where this is a feature for the Australian users. So client form uploads and online on these sort of online forms. So we can,
take a picture of your driver's license, add it to the form, you know, just making life a little bit easier for the admin and the practitioner behind the scenes. Yeah. So,
and sometimes it's referral information, test results, things like that, that people can sort of now attach to those online forms and send it into the practitioner. And that way it all gets stored into the account securely. It's all encrypted, all those sorts of things that you'd expect.
But
again, it makes the information flow really good.
Yes.
Okay, client diagnosis feature. I know this is one of your pet things that you were driving.
This is for our US customers mostly, but it can actually, it can be used anywhere. It is everywhere. So, you know, there are these codes that diagnosis codes, ICD-10, they're international codes, and they represent, I don't know why I'm telling our lovely listeners this, they know what the heck it is, most likely, but it is, you know, they, you know, represent what the patient is diagnosed with, and it is now captured on the client profile under diagnosis. You can go ahead and you can select what their diagnosis is and capture that on the client's profile. So I think this is great. Everybody, if you're not using this to streamline your life, you should be, you know, you don't have to go through your notes to see what you've diagnosed them with. You can put a start date, an end date. So if they've been cured or, you know, they're better, you can like have that, you know, be inactive and put a new one in. So, I mean, it's a really great feature enhancement to that client profile management. Yeah, so
exactly. And like I said, it's used some worldwide. It's flexible. You can put your own codes and things in as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the catalyst was, because we're getting a lot of feedback from our US customers about the importance of that when it comes to billing and so forth. But as you said, it's a feature that's actually used globally. The catalyst was, you know, a lot of our US customers were saying, hey, we need this. So that was added. And then along the same lines, sticking with US, we've got the NPI number and the taxonomy. We can never say that right. For US accounts as well. So if you're in the US, you'll know what that is. And you'll see that.
It's on the practitioner and business profile, and they can add in their business's NPI number and taxonomy. Can't say it right. Number on their business profile, and then they could also add it on the practitioner profile as well, because they're different numbers. So it's just really good that it's getting collected. It's just streamlining the processes for our US customers and sets the stage for other things. So that's good.
Very good. Okay, so now we've got a bunch of UI enhancements. So this is like the, you know, user interface, when we say UI, and making some things. So we have a program at the moment where we are working through and just updating things where either we get feedback or we can see when our team look at it, that we can sort of, you know, improve things. So expanded notes and forms, you know, features that we've made some differences in how that works and made it a lot easier.
Yep.
Highlight updates and sort of, you know, I guess the navigation, simplification. We changed terminology to make it things easier,
like rosters and availability.
That's right. So where there's
setup
and
settings.
Exactly, and you'll see these things roll out. But these are just, you know, the reason I'm pointing them out is because we're always sort of listening to try and hear where there might be, if there's even a small like stumbling block or something that people just don't quite get, or we can make better. We'll always just increment and try and improve it, and just keep that cycle going of making the software easier and easier to use. So if you see something that you think that's, I'm not quite sure what that means, let us know, because we can update that and we can sort of look at it and make it easier. Anything else you want to say there? I think we've got a whole list of stuff here, but lots of header change, you know, just navigation changes, things that are,
I think it's a testament to, you know, you don't ever want to be standing still, right? Yeah. So it's kind of like if I'm making an ad, right? I'm always like, okay, I want to make this iteration a little bit better. I think that's what we're doing with even our system. Like, how can we continue to improve the look and the feel? And you'll see these little enhancements happening over time to do that. And I think it's really forward thinking. It shows that we're not standing still and say, you know, it's really good. And I think the changes that have been made, subtle, beautiful, clean, you know, I like it. And again, it's us just not standing still. And I think that's just great. I think it's good. Really good. There's a lot of companies that don't change things. That's not for fun.
Indeed. It's true. And if you look back at, you know, we look at screenshots from a year ago or 2 years ago, you think, oh, why'd we have it like that? That was horrible. You know, you're always improving. And when you look back, you think,
well, weren't
oh,
you green at one point? Wasn't Power Diary green at one point?
It was green. It was green. We're getting some not so good feedback about the green that we had too. So we moved away from that. Green is not good on a lot of monitors. Let me just say that. Don't go green. Okay.
Don't go green. I love green. It's my favorite color.
Go green, you know, environmentally, all that. Absolutely all for that. But don't go green from a color point of view on monitors.
Work smarter, not harder. Power Diary, the complete practice management system for allied health professionals. Our all-in-one system with over 100 powerful features for health practitioners includes appointment scheduling, client messaging, SOAP notes, telehealth portal, payment integrations, and much, much more. Let Power Diary streamline and simplify your day-to-day operations so you can take care of clients. Join a live demo or start a free trial today. Learn more at www.powerdiary.com.
Okay, now moving on. We've got to move on. Okay, we've had a big year. This is actually now moving away from feature releases and just looking at company things that we've sort of done. We really believe that obviously security and privacy are huge anyway, but for systems like Power Diary that handle a lot of very sensitive information, there, you know, we really think that there should be, I guess, more sort of independent oversight over what practices, practice management systems do, right? Because there's all the regulations and the rules of what you should do, but it's essentially up to each practice management software to interpret the legislation and to build things or, you know, to comply with it, right? But there isn't actually any, you know, outside sort of observation of that. And, you know, we really kind of believe that there should be external, like some sort of way of validating or, you know, or checking on whether those things are being done correctly. And it's just a belief from our point of view that for lots of reasons, there can be circumstances, okay, like worst case scenario, you can have systems that, and we know sometimes this happens, that systems will make marketing claims about security, privacy, and so forth, but in fact the reality behind the scenes doesn't reflect that, right? So that's kind of the worst case scenario where there's a clear gap between what they claim and what they actually do. But then there can also be you know, very well-intentioned attempts, you know, to comply, you know, and I think most practice management systems I would put in this category, you know, that they're well-intentioned. There's usually like good people behind, you know, the software trying to do the right thing, right? But the problem is that we can easily be blind to or not recognize what we don't know, right? So it's that old thing about you don't know what you don't know, right?
Right.
So, you know, from a security point of view, you know, a system could, with good faith, be providing and delivering what they think and have practices that they think, you know, provide a secure platform. But how do you actually know whether or not what you think is important is actually important? You know, you can get even with, I mean, and that includes when you get, you know, you have experts internally, of course, and you have people that specialize, but that's still, you know, you could have a blind spot as a company. And so part of that, you know, in recognizing that and us wanting to make sure that we don't sort of fall into that trap, you know, we decided a couple of years ago that we wanted to have external certification and assessment and validation of our programs, you know, of our security and privacy programs and our practices. And so we started in 2023 is where we really started to get a lot of the end results starting to come through. And so we achieved our ISO 27001 certification, which is, you know, one of the world standards, you know, the ISO standard that sets the rules, if you like, about what good sort of practice looks like. And it's both technical and non-technical. So people think of security just in terms of encryption and, you know, the kind of the way in which you might just run things technically, but actually a lot of the security problems that occur are due to the people errors, you know, where or people practices. So, you know, the way in which team members can make innocent kind of mistakes or not be aware of vulnerability, and do something like, you know, become susceptible to a phishing, you know, exercise where someone, you know, is able to get details that they shouldn't be able to get. So ISO 27001, it sets and so across the entire range of security, both technical and not, looks at all the policies, training, processes, you know, as well as all the technical components. And
interviews. They interviewed.
Auditors.
They interviewed.
Oh yeah, they interviewed
all of
us.
You know, because they this was like no joke, a like serious certificate. Like this, you not everyone passes ISO 27001.
Yeah, and it's intense. And the reason, I guess, for explaining this detail, you know, is because for our customers, right, out there who are listening, to know that, like, you know, we want to make sure it's not just, like, when we go and do things, it's not just based on our own, like, opinions that we're complying with these regulations, but we're doing it so that you can have confidence, right, that what we're doing, our practices, they're more than just well-intentioned or more than just, okay, we've got some great internal people assisting us, but actually that it's external, you know, view of that. And to maintain that accreditation, we have, you know, annual reviews, and we have to show ongoing commitment, you know, to it. And they can actually check, you know, it's actually activities all the way through the year that we have to record, show evidence of, and then the auditors come in and they check that and make sure for in the annual reviews to make sure that's all happening. And so it just gives that extra sort of confidence that you know, instead of us just sort of self-certifying and saying, oh, well, you know, and I say certify because it's not, you can't self-certify, but, you know, just saying, well, you know, we think we're doing a good job and we've looked at those regulations and we comply, but actually having it and going through the process, you know, I think we've always had a focus on security and privacy, but you do find things that can be improved, right? And I mean, we came through the end with, you know, really a glowing report, but even just the process of preparing for external audit makes you look at every single thing because you absolutely
scary.
Have to. And inevitably, there's always things you can do. It's scary, but that's good, right? Because that
it's good.
It's
good. Oh, I paused. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, it's, I think it's really good. I'm really, you know, proud. Again, I think what I said, I wrote down is that it's in our DNA. Security is in Power Diaries DNA. Like it's always been there. And now it's just like, we went in, we analyzed it, and now we, you know, we have proof.
Exactly.
Like, it's just really, and it's
then,
excellent.
And then we did the same thing. We had external consultancy come in and assess our GDPR compliance, and they go through all the stuff that's required and make sure that everything that we, you know, that is required, that we're actually doing it, and there's evidence of that. So again, it's to give our customers the confidence that they can look their clients in the eye and say, I've selected a practice management system that has these, you know, that are getting that external oversight into their security and privacy programs. And then for the US, what do we have, Danielle? You can lead discussion
HIPAA.
On this.
HIPAA certification. So again, you met independent audit, you know, you guys put a lot of time and work into that. And, you know, I know all three of these are just the start. You know, we also, you know, in Australia, you have, you know, we're partners
the
with
principles
the,
and that.
So, I mean, it's just, it's really exciting to have all of these certifications for all of our different regions and locales of where people are using our software, and to have that peace of mind that, you know, that your stuff, everything in our system is safe for you and your clients. Like that makes me feel good about us, the service that we're providing to that. Like, I'm so glad to be working for a company that values it so much, because I care about, you know, our practitioners. We care about our practitioners just as much as they care about their clients. Yeah. So it's excellent. It's really exciting.
And I think the idea is to sort of take, you know, it's always complicated when people are trying to choose practice management software, and there's different ones to choose from, and sometimes they can look similar on the surface, you know. And so this is one way of saying, hey, look, you know, here's something that we can show that's external. We can get a copy of the report or the attestation.
Absolutely.
it. And
it's actually on our website too. So if you head over to powerdiary.com/security, if you want more information about our security practices, about ISO, about all of it, we have a very in-depth page. Check it out. You can share it with your patients too.
Exactly.
So they feel good about having a practitioner that's using a secure software, because it's scary now as a patient. Yeah. Like I feel like every day I'm getting something in the mail that, you know, hey, this has been hacked and your information is out there, you know, go use, you know, get sign up for like security monitor, you know, monitoring, yeah. but they, oh, so this yeah. makes them feel good. Like your patients will thank you for using us. So you should be proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so awards and recognition for 2023. So what's the highlights here, Danielle? We've got some good fun.
Look, at the end of the day, you know, why do awards matter? Awards are great. They make you feel good. We've gotten a lot of awards, but the reason that it's important to our listeners is that it proves to you that we're not making this up. People actually love our software. So we've had 37 G2 awards this year. So that's excellent. We recently just today.
So what's G2? Just so people who may not know what G2 is.
You're right, G2. Yeah. I don't want to biff this up. So they are a leading review site for software. So people go there. They leave a review on your software. So they verify it that, you know, that these people have used your software. They leave a full review and they rank you however they want to rank you. So like, we have no control over that. So, you know, we are getting great reviews because people really love us. And that, again, that's what we want, because that's what we care about. Mm-hmm. And we want you to love us. We want you to feel confident with your software. And we've gotten awards thanks to your reviews. So thank you for reviewing us. We got 37 recently, just as of today. We got the G2 announced their winter award. So I know it's summer for you, but here in the States, it's winter. It was snowing today. And we got one of the big ones, which was leader in medical practice management. And I know.
Let's put this another way. So there are 496 software providers globally that are assessed on G2, right? So 496. So with the announcement today, what did G2 rank Powerdiary? Can you just tell us perhaps that? Number one.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't say it. I'm sorry. I forgot. I was so excited. I was just doing the number one. We are number one.
Yeah, number one. So I mean, really wonderful, and it's amazing to achieve that. And this only just came out not long before we are recording this podcast. So very exciting to kind of see that. And so out of 496 globally that they assess on there, and they also look at G2 have a mechanism of looking not just at the reviews, but they actually have a way of looking into like social media, looking at. Yep. All sorts of things across the spectrum of like the footprint of a company, so that their results can't be sort of manipulated. They're looking at lots of kind of cross validation to make sure that their rankings are solid, because people rely on G2 to have valid, have really good mechanisms. So to get number one, really, it's wonderful. And again, if you're looking at from a, you know, if you're listed there, it's really that idea of, you know, it's hard to make a decision, you know, about practice management software. Yes. And have I chosen the right one? Is it, you know, am I still with the right one? And, you know, when we see things like this, I think it's just great, because it lets people know that, you know, obviously we're always working hard to try and, you know, improve things and listen. But when we see it like that, it's just really nice sort of, you know, it's validation, obviously, for us, which is lovely, but more importantly, for customers that, you know, are making a decision or have chosen Powerdiary.
Absolutely.
Okay. You've made a good choice, and we can say it, and here's some external evidence.
Yeah. And we're super excited. So we did something that, you know, Damon's not very good at, but it's a little humble brag. I am proud of us, and it's okay to say, hey, we are number one. So we're number one.
I am pleased. I'm super proud of this. I think it's great.
Good.
Other things that have happened during the year, and we just thought it'd be just interesting to reflect on this, that we've put out about 60 educational articles, you know, and things for health practices. And this is one of our sort of I guess, values, if you like, is to try and help people, not just in the immediate like space of practice management software, but actually thinking about the issues that come up for running practices and providing health services. And yeah, I think we're lucky in that we have we're connected in globally, you know, all around the world. We've got, you know, thousands of practitioners and practices using the platform, and it gives us an opportunity to kind of learn and to be able to get become a bit of a hub of information, and where we can kind of share that and leverage, you know, the knowledge of our wonderful community and our own, you know, resources to help, right? And so to have, you know, 60
to help
there, yeah, it's great.
Every people using our software are helping their clients. We want to help you. So that's why we have these resources and we have these educational materials, because, you know, you're never too young to learn, or never too old to learn, never too young to learn. You know, I say young because, you know, I always like to go that way, but, you know, learning and like getting some that assistance. I mean, it's, I love that about, I love that. I just think that's great. So.
And we did also 11 Powerdrive webinars as well, which was great. We had the highest attendance rates that we've ever, you know, had before, and that just keeps growing and growing. And we keep improving them. We listen to feedback too on those. So, you know, if when we send out those feedback forms and things, do fill it in. Let us know, because we do use that to make them better. And you know,
and if you got a topic you want covered, let us know as well. Yeah.
Very good. Okay, let's wrap things up.
Wrap it up.
I think it has been a wonderful year. I'd like to sort of say thank you to all our wonderful customers. Like, I just think that we've got to have the best customer group of any platform, because they really are such an engaged and passionate, community of people that, you know, really do care about what they do as health practitioners, and they care about the software. Our growth without word of mouth, you know, our growth is fueled so much by word of mouth. It's sort of the biggest driver of our Powerdrive growth, that, you know, it is just amazing. So I just wanted to take a moment to say, you know, thank you to our wonderful wonderful customers that, you know, really, you know, over the long history of Driver, they're just the drivers of Powerdrive. They shape everything that we do, it's really good, and we wouldn't be where we are now without, you know, our ever growing, you know, group of passionate users. So thank you very much for that. And of course, you know, internally we're very proud of our team, but it's great. So thank you. Any final closing comments from you, Danielle?
Oh no, it's just, it's amazing to look back and see what a busy 2023 we had. I am super excited for what lies ahead in 2024. We've got so much good stuff happening. I'm excited. Yeah, no.
2024 is going to be about, you know, we've got some really good things in the pipeline. It's, you know, we're always thinking about making running practices easier, right? And making the lives of practitioners and practice owners and practice administrators easier. So 2024, we have some cool things in line, some that we've published on our roadmap, some that are still being developed and we haven't put out there yet. But
yeah,
very exciting.
All right. Well, with that being said, head on over to our website to learn more about all these new features and so much more that Power Diary's got going on. And listen to and subscribe to our podcast. And I think that about wraps up 2023.
It does indeed.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Practice Power Up Podcast with Damian Adler. Come back often and make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. Your feedback is important.